Good morning. Today, Wednesday, 9th of May, 2018. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We are going until 1:30 p.m. today. My name is Lisa Gale. I'm your host and moderator. And with me is Mr. Dennis Johnson. He will be technical operator and producer for today. I'm back. I was just gone for a couple weeks. I was invited by the U.S. State Department on this very auspicious program entitled Women and Entrepreneurship. And as a young entrepreneur, or as a new entrepreneur, and as a woman, I was chosen out of the lot. And I thought I did Barbados proud, given the opportunities that we had to display a bit about who we are and what we do and some of the systems and policies that we have in place as it relates to the topics that we dealt with. I met a lot of very interesting people, went to a lot of good places and have some awesome contacts, and it's been good. I'm back now to, I'm not sure whether or not I call myself a feminist, but I am very much aware even more now of the issues that women face, the plight, the different scenarios within different parts of the globe. One thing I'll say is that we face similar issues, whether we are in Gaza, whether we are in Barbados, whether we are in Gambia. Women have similar challenges, and I thought the experience was one of good professional development, but a critical stage of self-discovery, I thought, and I feel like a new person. I really do feel, in terms of my posture and my thoughts and the things, the way how I view things now, I think that experience was really, really paradigm shifting. So that was, you know, going to those varying states and meeting those varying people, that was a really awesome experience. And I'll bring it to bear on the work of Lisa Gale Consulting, the work of the Caribbean Growth Forum, for which I am the resident advisor. And that's a part of some work with the CDB and the World Bank and IDB and a couple other players. I play the role of advisor. That appointment would have taken place from February of this year. Haven't shared it much, but yes, I'm busy doing Caribbean growth. I think that's the main agenda item under that. So I'm glad to have had those few experiences at the beginning of 2018, bearing in mind those varying lessons learnt. So I feel good to be back home. While I was away, I got a call that elections were called, and the date is May 24th, and we're all waiting with bated breath to hear what would be the result. You know, Barbados goes back to, I wouldn't say to normalcy, but Barbados usually has a smooth transition after elections. And I'm sure we're going to get into that some more as we go through today's discussion. I am in the process now of acquainting myself with the various candidates, because the issue of elections is not just going to a meeting and hearing what the different parties have to say, but it is understanding the policies, is looking at the history and the behavior of the varying parties. It is seeing what they represent, looking at the manifesto. You know, it has a myriad of issues, and those things then influence the electorate as to why to vote. So I'm trying to understand what is at stake. I think a lot of us know what is at stake, but I'm trying to understand what is on the table as it relates to the varying options that we have. I think we should not discount the third parties, and I've said this more than one occasion. I know that some persons believe that historically the third parties have not played that critical role, but Barbados is not the same Barbados it was 20 years ago. So taking into consideration the term that economists usually use, ceteris paribus, meaning all things being equal, all things are not equal. So taking into consideration what we have here now in Barbados on the ground, I think that the third parties, while they may not, you know, be able to field what we call 30 viable candidates each, I think the role that they have played and the discourse that they have been able to share, it really has opened my eyes, because I was not dismissive in the first place, but it further solidified a point in my head, is that they have a role to play. And yesterday, case in point, and what BRASAC has been doing with People's Parliament over the last few weeks since the 6th of March, when the normal parliament came to a close, or to a halt, or a dissolution, whatever name you want to call it. I think the discussion has been rich. I think it provided a platform for us to better understand where the parties were coming from. And we then had I had a better appreciation for the perspectives of the parties, and I understand why a lot of them have come to the fore. And if we look only yesterday at the two contributions from both the UPP and Solutions Barbados in the studio, I thought that they were very rich contributions, and I felt very confident that Barbados has a lot of potential leaders. Unfortunately, our system, as it dictates this one-party system, in the Westminster system, whoever gets the majority takes all. I think that has done us a serious disservice as a country, because it has allowed for a lot of bipartisan, and a lot of polarization in the society. And I shudder to think what the 25th and thereon would be like, given what I've seen so far at the start of the two campaigns. And we will get to that, because I will share my thoughts on what I've seen over the weekend as it relates to the two launches that we've seen thus far. The other smaller parties, I only know of one other launch, and that's on the 12th of May for the United Progressive Party. I haven't heard on Solutions Barbados as yet, and I haven't heard on the others, but their launches would not be as, we wouldn't get the 2,300 persons on Facebook as we did in the scenario with the last two parties, but we still want to hear what contributions they have played. So the pre-nomination, one thing I've observed is that the pre-nomination was a little different from the post-nomination. We had candidates who were fielded, and then we have candidates who have paid in their fees, and that's a different complexion from what we heard before. They're persons who were vying for elections, or they have said, but they're no longer in the running. So the post-nomination now, this is a serious time now, and we have different candidates, so we need to see what they're bringing to the table. We still have issues as it relates to the sewage. We have the report of the governor of the central bank, and I think I need to really bring some attention to that, because that plays a critical role in where we go next, in my view. Because yes, we're looking at leadership, but leadership of what? You're leading the country, of which the economy is a critical and large part thereof. So who we choose will have to be able to impact growth for Barbados, impact a better economy, impact better youth going forward, and create an enabling environment for business, etc. That's the role of government. So when we choose that party or that set of leaders, that's what we also have to be thinking about. So for me, before we go to the phone lines, I want to bring a little attention to the contents of the Governor of the Central Bank's review, because it is something that is pretty serious. We, as a country, are not doing very good, and we must be aware of those. So I just want to bring a few points. We are in a space where there's fiscal contraction. We have weak economic growth. You know what that means. We've seen year-on-year decline in reserves, and we've seen further debt accumulation. It hasn't stabilized. We have more debt based on the central bank. Mr. Clevenson Haynes reported, and even in terms of some of what he shared in terms of the outlook, where is Barbados? So yes, on the positive side, I remember the $395 million, which represents 4.2% of the GDP, that being how we were able to, reduce the deficit, the fiscal deficit. But moving towards a balanced budget is nothing in near sight. This is not imminent, based on where we are. We haven't seen any activity that can engender that level of confidence that there would be any real change in the economy as we stand right now. So yes, it was an improvement from the 5.7%, which was in the fiscal year 2006 to 2017. But for 2017 to 2018, we saw the 4.2. So yes, there was a little improvement on the fiscal deficit, but what? We are still at 150% of our GDP in debt. So if that's where our debt, our ratio is, we are not doing very well. And if we look back at the presentation from the Minister of Finance in 2017, when we had that very strong and very austere budget, when those last set of taxes were implemented, I would say that it hasn't really solved any problems at all. And we are a year on now. We're only in May. June is around the corner. The budget was on the 30th of May 2017. So looking at that, if I just mention the positive side, which is the fiscal, bringing it down to 4.2%, and then the reserves have increased. I think that is a little more encouraging to the sense that we're now at 6.9 weeks of import cover. But we are still in a bad place, and Barbados has problems, and I want to identify the problems that we have. The problems are that we have falling inflows, and that is something that has to be addressed in some form or fashion. Yes, I saw from the same report that the tourism receipts were increasing to some extent, but and the demand for imports was also weak. And that, of course, is the deliberate reality of when you have taxes on an economy, what happens? People kind of only spend on what they can afford or the things that they need, and therefore they don't demand the same. You know, you don't eat as lavishly, or you don't entertain as lavishly, and you don't do the same things. So Barbados has to fix some issues, not in the short term. We have some long-term issues, and any administration that wants to run the country must speak to these issues, the issues, whether it relates to diversification of the economy, whether it relates to the youth, whatever those issues, those are issues. But the main long-term critical economic issues, I want to highlight them in terms of fixing our economy, will be eliminating that fiscal deficit in some form or fashion, and that comes with some hard realities, and then reversing that declining trend in the foreign reserves and boosting capital works. I think one of the big things and positive things that would happen for Barbados in terms of boosting capital works, a lot of us complain about our road infrastructure, we complain about transport, and then we all know the challenges with as it relates to the sewage. If we were to get some infrastructural development in those three crucial areas, Barbadians will be smiling. The potholes will be reducing. The sewage would be that issue would be addressed in a more frontal manner. And then there are other immediate, or I should say more long-term issues, is helping to reduce our current expenditure. That continues to be a challenge for our country. And then ways and means of boosting our revenues. There has to be a way to boost revenues. We cannot sit back and say, this is all we're getting now. We lost in international business. We lost in this field. And you know, we have to find creative ways to jumpstart our economies. And I think even as I had discussions with persons abroad, and we had conversations, and we looked and see, we saw what were some of the challenges in some economies and how countries were able to make changes. Even if we look right here at the Grenada scenario, just a couple of years ago, they were having challenges, and then where they are at now with such buoyant growth, etc. We have to do something, and we have to do something very, very soon. So those are thoughts as it relates to the economy. And we are in the first quarter of 2018, and we have three more quarters. And we kept saying we are in election year, and no growth really happens because people are busy doing other things. So Barbados is in a bind. And I said that the last time, just before we had a discussion on the economy, and we are still here. And I wonder where are we going? I think those are issues that we need to really, really address. One thing I really look forward to is some private sector investment. And I say private sector investment, whether it's local, that needs some real, and I know because of the lack of confidence, because there's a relationship. there's a correlation between investment and confidence. And if you're not confident, you're not going to invest. And therefore, the confidence has to be fixed in order for the investment to really get back up there. But this is not only local. I remember Barbados suffering from falling FDIs way back in the 90s, but particularly in the early 2000s, because we were deemed as a high income country, and then with our development index being so high, human development index, we were graduated from certain funds that other countries can benefit from. So in that, we gotta find other ways to make money. Money's not only come from international agencies. Money's come from the private sector and other creative ways. So we have to better our business facilitation. We have to renew investor confidence, and we have to increase our private sector investment. And I think if we can get those things done, we can see some growth back in the system. We would then better be able to repay our debts. And bear in mind, we don't only have debts for now. We have 2019 and debts right up to 2022, which are on the books. So whatever plans and strategies must be able to arrest and find ways of improving our revenue take, so that we can face the mammoth task of debt repayments that we have in this country. So any way to stabilize the foreign reserves and facilitate that sustainable growth for our economy, I think that's what I'm looking for. I will stop here now, and I'll say this is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have a number of calls on the line. I have another comment to make, but I will give away to our many callers. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for that. Good morning to you, Lisa Gill.
Hi, good morning.
This is the first time speaking to you. I am Winnie.
Hi, Winnie.
And now, number first one is...
We spoke once, though, by the way.
Oh, did we?
Yes,
we did. It must be a long time ago.
Yes.
But it's nice speaking to you again.
Yes.
At the Warren Clinic, they're short of staff to dress, you know, the people that they dress their womb. You know, you have a special nurses to do that. They're very short, so no one can get dressed at Warren Polyclinic this morning. Any staff.
And all dressings are on hold?
Yes, and they give some people, I think they give everyone that goes there, because my husband do volunteer work, you know, twice a week taking someone there. So the person he took there this morning, they couldn't do the dressing because they're short of stuff. So they gave her something to dress the wound with, you know, and being in a wheelchair, it's going to be very difficult for her to get it done, even though she have a helper that she pays to help her, you know, but still yet. I think for things like that, there should be staff there to do the dressing. Warren Polyclinic is the best clinic, I think, in Barbados. Mm. And the staff there are excellent.
Okay.
The doctors are 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that works there, you know, do their job. And I must give them credit for that. But when you're short of staff, you cannot do nothing about it. You understand?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Now, I am a woman of 70 years old.
Congrats. Okay? 3 score and 10.
Yes, I was born the 27th of March, 1948.
Mm-hmm.
And in all my life, been in living politics in the UK, and I came here to live, I never in my life heard politician and platform curse so bad, and curse a lady as well, and then curse the woman and what everybody what coming from this sewage should be somewhere, you know. I think it's wrong.
It was distasteful, and there's no other explanation for it. You don't speak of people that way, particularly persons holding particular offices. Even if you're your home, if you want to do that at home where nobody can see you, you're free to do that. But as a leader and as a politician, it is inexcusable.
Well, let me tell you, I am with my husband now 40, going 41 years, and he never ever used such, sorry about the noise, the road. You know, never even, he don't even want to use word. If I get mad and say a certain thing, he's vexed for the whole day, you know, and I really try not to. But as person that said they were leaders, you know what hurt? I think what hurt them very bad, they was jumped. They never
expected.
Trumped?
Jump. Jump. J-U-M-P. You mean based jump. On the previous night?
On the East Coast and the night before, and then the ones I never expect that the turnout would be so.
But you're trying to find an excuse for inexcusable behavior.
Yeah, but listen to me. I am telling you, I am mad. As a woman, and women in Barbados should stand up and say, no, you cannot use those kind of words to a leader. I am, you know, I have my favorite. But when you come to this, this is ridiculous. And the police was there. The police was there. The police should have gone up, put their hand on the mic, and said, no, stop it.
Police will tell you, the guy would ask you, what crime am I committing?
What crime are you committing? You are using explicit word that children is there. Mm-hmm. And when the kids behave in a manner, now you're going to say, is the poor parents' children that, you know, they don't have no mother, they gone out drinking and this and left the children. Children pick up what you say. Mm-hmm. Kids listen to what you say. You might hear them playing, but they're still listening to you, yeah?
It's true. It's very true. I take all of your points. We are in agreement. There's no excuse for behavior. I mean, and that was the second part of my prelude. The comparison of the two campaign launches. But I would allow the callers, because we do have a shortened program. And as one WhatsApper is saying, long monologue and a shortened program. I guess they didn't say equal anything. So I guess they're not finished their equation. But thank you for your contribution. I fully support what you have said. There's no place, whether it is in politics of yesteryear or politics of this year, for us and the mudslinging. And I mean, some people come back and they say, oh, but we were doing that for so many years. Raise the bar. Raise the bar. That's all I have to say. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. You are on the air.
Yeah, hello. Good morning, Mr.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, a couple of things here. I like to be fast. Mm-hmm. The first thing I have to do, when I look at the paper yesterday, I see so many of these political parties who are vying for the election. I was quite not taken back, but I get to realize now that it's taken scoring, but this is going to change over the years. I might not live to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But one of these days, one of these new parties will be ran up the government. I think it shows you that people in Barbados, some people in Barbados, both political parties, the major parties, which is the DLP and the BLP, and mm-hmm. therefore they form their own organization. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they are being successful this year, it doesn't matter. There are other years coming.
Yeah, I agree with you. There is. You have to run. I remember if we look back at, and this is not a third party scenario, but I remember the scenario with Wholeness in Jamaica just a couple of years ago. He took over the reins from the prime minister and, you know, quickly called elections. His strategy was to, you know, but he got shocked. He lost the election. One term in office, and then he won again. I say that to say that you may fail in the first instance or the first two instances, but you start to build momentum. You start to retain, you start to gain some respect from the electorate, and you start to do things in the community, and people say, okay, this is a viable team. The whole point of it is not to just drop off after elections, but to continue doing the things that you say you will do. Yes, you may not have the same resources, but you show forth the commitment to implement the policies that you have said that you are interested in. So there's value in other people. I would tell you, in the past, and this is why I say there has been a shifting, we have had a lot of people who wanted to go forward, but they were hesitant. And now we have people who are emboldened to come forward. So the landscape is changing. So I see where you're going with that.
Right. The other thing, I went by the past by Weymouth. I stood on the other side and I listened quite attentively to what the opposition leader was saying.
Mm-hmm.
She addressed the issue of sanitation trucks and buses, etc. But the reality is that she didn't come and tell the people really what they're really planning to do if they get in office, if they're going to start warning people or if they're going to go to IMF. Nothing so was mentioned, but all we know that we were going to.
I didn't hear that last speech. You said
she did not mention if she's going to get.
Sorry, I didn't hear. Who are you referring to?
The opposition leader. When
in the campaign liftoff. Mm-hmm, sorry.
Yeah, she didn't spoken about whether or not she's going to take the country to IMF or whether people are going to go off. Well, all I'm hearing, these lot of buses, roads, everybody is going to change by now in June. There were three little children who were to the meeting. One mother's a member of the Democratic Labour Party, one member of the Baptist Labour Party. But the little boy didn't say, who is the mother representing? And the little girls would say, you know, the Baptist Labour Party is the best.
You're going quiet. This is Dr. Brownstocks.
Hi, good morning, Lisa Gale.
Morning, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you.
I try hard not to be deceitful, right?
Okay.
I try hard not to be deceitful. And I will be deceitful if I didn't make mention of this.
Mm-hmm.
Your preamble, right?
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes, we are too long in a shortened program.
Long for who, though?
Long for the program, I think, is unfair to the program.
Okay, unfair to the program. So I should give
the
callers 90% and don't say anything.
No, I'm not saying that.
You just said it's too long, so...
I am saying in a shortened program, you know,
mm-hmm.
that I think you biked out 20 minutes, and I think it was too long. That just
okay,
me.
That's all right. That's
basically speaking for basically.
So continue now.
Good, fine. Look, I agree with Marsha Cato
mm-hmm.
and her utterances in respect to the third parties. They're just noise pickers, because I believe, and I want a conversation with you, because I said to you that I am not deceitful, okay? I
mm-hmm.
still want a conversation with you. I am saying to why I agree with Marsha Cattle is this.
Mm-hmm.
I believe next election, if both of these major two major political parties in this election mm-hmm. or that we grow accustomed to
mm-hmm.
increase their candidate base, right? By 6 or 7 more.
You mean the third parties?
No.
Or
I'm talking about the existing two major political parties that was around here for 70 and 50 years.
That already have
30.
So how do you mean by increase? Explain.
I am saying to you, if, for instance, the boundaries, the electoral boundaries and commissions decide to put on 7 more constituents.
Oh, no.
Just using a scenario.
In Barbados, 166 square miles?
Oh my God. Forget that. Then. Let me say 7 members, current members of the 30,
mm-hmm.
right? From both sides, which is 14 members, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drop out. I am positively sure that some of these third parties will want to put in a application.
But that's irrelevant, though. That still does not... That doesn't take away from the fact that the third parties are there and they're coming with viable solutions to help take Barbados forward.
Viable solutions, right? Because I hear a man say that he can pay the whistleblower,
mm-hmm.
The amount of the brave, and then the person that received the brave or gives the brave got paid about 10 times. I got problems with this up pie in the sky. Things okay.
Every single solution you or proposal you may not like.
But
so
let me get on to this thing now. Let me get on to this thing. That was just in passing. I want to say that last election, opening night, Bay Street, from the Stuart Prime Minister on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're keeping true to form, and Barbados and Barbadians have to understand this. The Democratic Labour Party is holding true to form.
It wasn't Bay Street, but it was very close thereof, because it was in the constituency that the Prime Minister holds right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bit of mudslinging, but it was not to the level. This was 2013.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was Bay Street, the Esplanade Bay Street.
No.
I'm telling you, the first meeting,
2008.
The first meeting that the Democratic Labour Party held in 2013 was at the Esplanade in Bay Street.
I'm speaking about Britain's Hill. I just...
Then Prime Minister Stuart, Prime Minister,
mm-hmm.
so what you expect from the Democratic Labour Party?
But because somebody continues to do something wrong don't mean that it is good, you know. And that doesn't mean that people can't speak against something that is not a good standard.
All I'm saying to people that is in here, shock of my voice, that don't be surprised when you get these players, these actors, cursing the opposition leader and taking shit down. All I beg my opposition leader to do, don't reply to them. Right? They are in a boat with half of the flooring of the boat thing. They would get to whatever harbor they want to reach. But I know, I believe, on this month, the 24th of this month, I believe the Electric of Barbados will send them a resounding answer. I believe that.
This is Dr. Brown Stocks. You are on the air. Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you, Miss Gail.
Hi, good morning, sir.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I will consider you to be a feminist. I consider you to be a Christian. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I will warn Wesley and all the confident hopefuls that supporting the opposition party. I can't call it opposition, though. Because the Barbersville Party, that in order for the Barbersville Party to win the government, it is people like me that will otherwise support the DLP that will stay home and not vote. So I don't know why I wouldn't believe that. It's all right to be confident, right? Because the government ain't really, to me, when they say they try the best, I don't know, because I didn't with them, but there's things that done and things that didn't do that wasn't done
mm-hmm.
that I ain't agree with.
Which one? Which party? The existing party?
Right, the existing government, the outgoing government.
Okay.
Oh.
You said outgoing.
No,
so that means you're making way for a third party, because if you say that, he's too overconfident.
Right, Parliament closed, so I make it that. I say
understood, though, yes.
Right. Right, so what I want any government that form next government, though, since that when I like to pass laws, this might not got nothing to do with the insurance companies, though. I want you all outlaw the flying of kites at night time.
Oh, my. How could you?
How could I?
Mm-hmm. How could you outlaw it? No. I'm asking you, how could you outlaw it?
I'm saying to ban it from flying during the day, but it seems to be a trend now.
A big trend.
Right. They got a law called, public nuisance.
Yes.
That is it? Right.
Yes.
So they got some people that want to make themselves a nuisance. Right up with me now, there's a kite.
You think it's deliberate, though? I suffer at the hands of somebody who flies a kite at night. In the middle of the night, you hear
it. It is deliberate. I can tell you
for a long, long time.
It is like, my kite up there keeping noise, humbugging people. That's mine, boy. That's me. Right? That's right, but that type of mentality. Because up with me right now,
but you're sure that you know, sometimes we don't know the intent. We know what the effect is, but we don't know what the intent is.
But to me, that is got something to do with it. You're actually, you know, everybody want to be somebody and take be recognized. My kind out there keeping beer noise. That is me, right? There's one in my area right now. Right now, it's down. Mm-hmm. But you can see that kite go up later on. Mm-hmm. And it, all three night, it keeping a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. And then the other song is, they got them bill know that they could be barking. Right? Mm-hmm. And there's a residential area just below. And that's why I want the 11 Plus to be maintained. Nobody don't know why it's arguable about 11 Plus. Because if you check, it's all in about knowledge, about being civil. Right? And if you really check the people that are doing this, you will see the people that are around them and the parent that they have. Because there's no way that you're a leader in a house and you got your children flying kites causing public nuisance.
You sure it is children that are doing this? But these are big men that are doing this.
Or I mean like
no 14-year-old boy in tying out a kite. This is a big man and several big men that are doing this.
Alright. I assuming though it is not we'll call it a big man, even if they're 25 or something, not a big man that can do anything. That is somebody that just a big baby, right?
Okay.
Not a mature person. I believe it's teenage people, though, right? Like in the 16, 17, 18, early 20s, right? I'll put it to that. Right?
I know of a guy, though, if I may continue. I know of a guy who had a challenge, and he called the police, but the police said he can't find where the kite his state, and therefore he couldn't help the gentleman. But, yeah, the whole issue of public nuisance, that's one that fits squarely in there. You have anything else to add to this?
Yeah, right. What I would say is that police got to be more sensitive to, right, and know what they're doing. Because I understand police came, said to someone that need to put in some earplugs. And that's very ridiculous. Very ridiculous. I believe he need to take his number and he should have been reported. Because that ain't nothing to, for a law officer to be saying to someone. All right, you have a nice day.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brass Tax.
Good morning, Lisa.
Morning, good morning.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yesterday, People's Parliament was really interested.
I thought so, too.
Yeah, they talk about the children.
Mm-hmm.
The Honorable Santia Brysha, she and Crystal, they have spoke about getting guidance counselors to help the children with problems. And I think that is really in demand, see?
Increasing the number, yes, because we don't have sufficient. Yes. Only one per school, a school that may have a population of 1,000 children, that's not enough at all.
Exactly, because only about 2 months ago, there was an article in a magazine that this young lady spoke about. She was sexually molested with 3 different men.
Mm-hmm.
And every time she speak to her mother will always say to her, "You are telling lies."
Mm.
So when these men are given the benefit of the doubt, these children
are suffering
at the helplessness of these individuals.
Yeah, and not only just a guidance counselor, but a teacher who can be a confidant or
a friend
who can take the scenario further and get some real well-needed help.
Exactly. I would like to see the police force make a more aggressive to do something about this, to try to stamp it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because to think about it, what these children are going through, are really, really sad.
Yeah, we have to not be too shy to talk about these issues. We have too many children who are suffering at the hands of adults and sometimes their own peers. With sexual molestation of all sorts, and it is sometimes swept under the carpet. Some people are not equipped in some instances to handle those social challenges, and we do need a higher level of social work competence in not only the schools but in a lot of the other agencies around, so that our youth aren't lost with some of the challenges that they face as young children.
Exactly, because the figures are very high.
Yes, I heard a couple years ago there was a statistic. It was like 740 in the year of molestations, of abuse, some being neglect, some being molestation, some being, you know, and that figure is too high. We have a population of 270-odd or 80-odd thousand. That figure is very, very high.
Exactly. To hear these things hit me for sake.
Mm.
So I hoping to see Barbados, the people, whenever you hear of such a case,
mm-hmm.
report it and the police do something to try to help.
And there be follow through as well, because sometimes you may know of something and a neighbor may say, "I knew this all along, but after the fact." No, you know, be more caring about your neighbors, be more caring about the persons around.
These poor children are left to suffer, these men.
Do you have anything else this morning?
Well, that is my special case because I feel very, very strongly about it. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for sharing. This is Dr. Brass Tax.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Are you there? Oops. Are you there?
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'll welcome you back also.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
First, let me big up the young lady from UPP. She was excellent.
Miss Crystal like Austin from yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Okay.
She sounded like a seasoned politician. She was excellent.
That she's been an activist for many years. I know. I actually know her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought yesterday's contribution, not only herself, I think she did a very good job. I also, as usual, Miss Bradshaw also represented herself well. And the other gentleman, his name has evaded me, but from the Solutions Barbados Party as well, he also brought some really good and out-of-the-box positions, you know, positions that are very plausible, that can really add value to the youth population and the youth policy in Barbados. So I thought yesterday was very rich.
Yeah, but I like her. She was real good.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
Crystal.
Now,
I'll tell her.
No, okay. No. I look, they have some deceitful, hypocrites people. Let me tell you, when I'm talking about both parties.
Okay.
When the parties, both parties get on ball in Parliament.
They do. They really do. And I think what a lot of people are speaking about specifically would be the display over the weekend.
No, let me, I get to that now.
Okay.
Nobody don't come out and say nothing. When the BFP started, the curse the Prime Minister, right down, Mr. Lord.
In Parliament?
Pardon me? Not in Parliament.
Or where?
Nobody come out and say nothing. When there's a lot of dirty things about Mr. Lord, Carrie Simmons called the Prime Minister a rat something.
Yeah, I heard about that, yes.
Santia.
Not acceptable.
Santia took a picture with two men with whores and prostitutes.
And came out and I recall that scenario where she came out and distanced herself from what the pictures were on the t-shirts because she wasn't aware of what was on them.
Did she have on blinkers? She could see them prank whores and prostitutes. She's not blind.
But it's not good enough though. I take your point. Both parties have been involved in mudslinging, so there's no one party, you know, there's no one-sided, but I think a lot of what people are speaking about is the display of disgust that occurred.
No, in a display, there was right to do it because...
Sorry, you're saying that something is deceitful, but then you're saying that it's right for the party...
No, they're deceitful and hypocrite because the DLP is who started all this thing. They collect a lot of people that call the program hit to at the DLP too. You can't be so hypocrites about here thing. You have to tell it as it is.
I'm not clear. Come, say that again. Who, you lost me in the last piece.
Let me talk slow. I say a lot of callers call in and curse the Prime Minister and nobody ain't do nothing about it. I know that the DLP coming out saying things and throwing things, people vet. You should be vet for all two parties, not just one party.
Right, and I just said to you that the display of mudslinging over the years is not acceptable. But a lot of what people are speaking about now is the display of the, when you compare both the two parties' launches over the weekend, that was unacceptable. So nobody's saying that mudslinging isn't unacceptable, but they're talking about the most recent.
There's some things on the stairs too. But they say you can't have it both ways. You can't condemn one body and press one body. I realize, right? The evil cursing panel spoke and has asked Miss Mia one question. Let me tell you, you cannot say nothing about this leader, but you can attack the Prime Minister, attack the Prime Minister.
But you ever, no, I want to take you up on this.
No,
she isn't. Each of us is equal and none of us deserves any form of mudslinging. So are we clear on that?
Yeah, but...
So you just said that they were right. I can't agree with you there.
But
there is no
opinion.
I saw it. I streamed it.
You have your opinion, this right?
We can have an opinion that there's no gravity and you can still fall along and burst your head. So, I mean, whether it's an opinion or not, it is not right to do that to any human being, whether it is the leader of the opposition or whether it is the Prime Minister of Barbados. There's no... Let me tell you what I'm speaking about because we probably are on two different pages. I watched the Barbados Labour Party's lift off via stream, and I watched the Democratic Labour Party's their campaign launch via stream. I was very, very disappointed with what I saw coming from more than one person from the Democratic Labour Party as it relates to their description and presentation about the leader of the opposition. And they were low. And they were disrespectful and it was distasteful. And there's no way that I would accept anybody saying that they're right. They're not right. They're not right.
They were talking about leadership. And they were
no, they were talking about a person.
And tell me that I'm in a class with Mia. And nobody don't be saying that when it's too deceitful.
Yeah, people shouldn't say that.
Deceitful and hypocrite. They are deceitful and hypocrite. The little throat things and can't take it.
But you're saying one thing shouldn't happen, but yet you're endorsing it by another place. And I can't agree with you.
I said the deceitful hypocrites. that you talk one, you mean wait to tell me somebody says dirty things about you, you endorsing nothing? You stupid. If somebody says something about me, I say something about them too. I am stupid.
I remember when person spoke about what Carrie Simmons said in reference to the Prime Minister. And I agreed with them. And a lot of people came out and said that it was distasteful. And I would say that it was distasteful then. It was distasteful then. And it is distasteful now for any minister. I mean, I was so appalled that a minister, and not only was, and I'm speaking specifically about the minister, I would not call his name, the minister who used 4 expletives. And nobody from the august body that was sitting behind him said, hold off, brother, ease off, hold up, don't go so far. He went very, very far.
Both got the same way.
No. What I saw as a display on Sunday.
Nah.
Anyway,
both got the same way.
Thanks so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Stats.